Bez Hashem's book, we begin Perek Revi, the fourth chapter in the Rambam, Masechta Sheilot, because of the laws of borrowing and of deposits in the Sefer Mishpatim, Book of Judgments, which now we begin the second half of these halachas, that of Pekudim, of deposits. Where specifically in this Perek, we discuss the way of protecting and safeguarding a deposit. As Rambam begins halacha off regarding what's known as the Shvus Hashemim, the oath that guardians, that custodians have to make regarding their Shemira. So, Hamafkir is L'chaver Bechinam. So, someone deposits an object by his friend without pay, for free. It's known as a Shemir Chinam. Benigna by Abed and was stolen from him or lost from him. Sa'ariza Nishba, he swears that it was stolen or lost. Venifta, and he's exempt, he's let off the hook. Shem like says in the Pasuk, Vegunim Avesa Ishba Kami, if it was stolen from the house of the man, etc., which is the Shemer. Venikra Balabayas Elohim, and then he comes to the court. Im Lesholach Yodab im Lech said, if he didn't put a hand to touch his friend's item, he makes an oath, and that gets him exempt. Mekagun Labatechashua. Now, however, when he swears that it was stolen, which is the chiv of the Torah of the Shomer, we also include two other oaths that we could devolve on him, what's known as Gilgal Shvuah. Once he's swearing, we can then make him take other oaths if we want to. A, Shalei Pasha, that he was not negligent. He protected it the way guardians usually do. And L'Sholach B'Yad, that he didn't touch a hand to it, that he didn't touch it and misappropriate it. And V'Acha, Negnav, and then it was stolen. Shem Negnav, Acha, Shasholach Yod, because it was stolen after that he had already stretched out a hand to utilize that person's deposit. Without permission, he'd be liable for its responsibility, and he actually would be obligated to pay, even though it was stolen. Halacha Beis. Now, since the pasuk exempts the unpaid custodian from theft, for all the more so in the great situations beyond his control, for example, if it breaks, or shvuya, or if it gets taken in captivity, but meso, or if it dies, for sure he's going to be exempt. But as long as he did not stretch out a hand to touch that person's deposit inappropriately, but if he utilized it for his own personal purposes, he would even be liable for einzin, because once he touches it without permission of the owner, he becomes a gazlan, which then becomes liable even for einzin beyond his control. Now, regarding the way of protecting the object, says the Rambam, Ketzad derech Hashem, what's the ways of the custodians? Everything is according to the deposit, whatever the object is. Yes, because there are certain deposits, Shadech Shemir Yaseh, the way to protect it is Lanicha Bebes HaShar, put it in the gatehouse. Could go in HaKodesh Vavonim, like beams and stones. These big items you put out there, they don't have to be so well protected. You put it in the gatehouse. Now, the Yesh B'Kodin, now there are certain deposits, Shadech Shemir Yaseh, the way to protect it is Lanicha B'Chatzor, a little bit more protected, to put it in the courtyard. Could go in Chavilas Pishton, HaGadolos, like large flax bundles, like Yitman, things, something like that. The Yesh B'Kodin, there are certain deposits, Shadech Shemir Yaseh, Lanicha B'Bais, the way to protect it is even more to put it into the house. Cooking similar batalas like a cloak and a covering. The Yeshbekod, there are certain deposits. Shadech Shmirasa, the way to protect it, is even more. Lahanicha Bateva, to put in a box, a bemidl or a closet, vinoilam, and to lock on it. Cooking Bigdi Meshi, like for example, silk garments, or klichesev, and silver vessels, or klizav, and golden vessels, kizm, and things like that. So it depends on what it is. That's how it has to be protected. Now, Halacha Gimel continues regarding if there's a negligence in the way of a person protecting the object. Hashemir, so regarding the custodian, Shenicha Bekodin, that it puts the deposit, B'mokam She'inirolo, in a place that's not appropriate for it, where it's not protected. V'nigdim Mishama of it, but it actually, and it gets stolen or lost from there. So Afila Nenisham, even if that it's something beyond his control, K'gon Shenafla Dleika, like for example, there was a fire, the start of Kalabayas, and the whole house goes on fire. Hariza Peshe, he still gets it negligent, because he didn't protect it appropriately. And therefore, V'chayv L'sham is going to be liable to pay, even if it's an oinus. And this, even if he puts a deposit with his own stuff. So, well, I put my own stuff there. It doesn't make a difference. And Merol Shmir, if it's fit for protection, so part of it, then he's exempt, because he did appropriate Shmir. It wasn't negligent. But V'meina Mokum Merol Shmir, if the place is not fit for protecting, Chayv is going to be liable. Because B'shaloi here, Rashai, with his own stuff, yeah, he's permitted to be negligent and not protected appropriately. But that's not an excuse. And I'll do that by others. So therefore, even if it ends up being an einus, that's something that he was pesheya in the shmir, and that would not let him off the hook, no matter what happens, whether it's gneiva veda or even that of an einus. Halacha dalad, now haksafim, regarding silver coins, vadinarim, and golden dinarim coins, elam shmir el bakarka, they could only be protected by putting them in the ground. And to put a handbreadth of earth on top of them, or you bury it in the wall, but tefach asamach lekayra in the handbreadth that's closest to the ceiling. Because I'm not in the middle of the wall. Because maybe the thieves are going to dig over there and they're going to steal it from over there. Now, a fill noil in Kuroba Tevana, even if he locked it in a safe box appropriately, or even if he hides it in a place where a person would not recognize, but would not sense that it's there. It is a b'shevach chav l'sham. It's still negligent because that's not the way where Chazal said that it's protected, which in the ground or in the wall right next to the ceiling, and it's going to be liable to pay. Now, some of the understanding people, they ruled shehu adin, the same thing as the chol davar shemasoi kal. Anything that it's a very light load, and it won't get ruined quickly in the ground, like tongues or slabs of silver. And you don't have to say l'shen shalzav, which is doesn't get as ruined as silver. These slabs of gold, and precious gems, their protection is only if it's in the ground. And says the Ram, and to that opinion, I am inclined to say like that also, that that's the only place that's considered protected, which is in the ground. Halacha hey. Some deposits by his friend silver, but it's right before Shabbos by twilight. So he's not obligated right now, right before Shabbos, to go through the effort and to bury them up until the end of Shabbos. Then he has to go ahead and bury it. Now, if he delays after Shabbos to bury them, the Lord Kavanah does not bury them. But Nigni, when he gets stolen, even if it's oynus, Chayiv is going to be liable because that's a b'shir that he didn't put into the Shmir Kiroah, which is in the ground. But if the one who's depositing the object by him, that person who owns it, is a Talmudic scholar, and the Chayiv, the one who was watching is not liable, only if he delays until after the one who owns it, the one who owns the deposit, had already made Havdalah, Kedela Kavrim, so that then to bury it, because Tamil Chacham are very careful about the mitzvah Havdalah on wine. Now, wine in those days were very expensive, and therefore, the one who has the deposit allowed to hold on not to bury it, the silver coins, because maybe the Talmud Chacham is going to need that money to use for Havdalah, and therefore it's not his fault that he didn't bury it yet, because he thinks Talmud Chacham might need it for Havdalah. Halach above. Hifkid Itzl Chaveda Ksaf Maderech. Let's say he deposits by his friend silver on the journey, on the road, like Lichel and Beis to go bring it to his house. Or he's sending him monies to go from one place to another place. They have to be bundled and placed in his hands. That's the only way it's considered appropriately protecting it. Or it has to be tied appropriately, like a money belt on his belly, opposite his face. Until he gets to his house, and then he buries it appropriately, that's considered appropriate shmir. But if it did not tie it in the way we described it, I feel an answer, even if it ends up being an oynus beyond his control, Chayav L'sham has to pay. Why? Because the beginning was his negligence that he didn't protect it properly, and even if it's saved by oynus, he's still going to be chayv. And there was a ma'aseh b'echad, there was a story with an individual, Shifkin Moyes says, Chaver, he deposited monies by his friend, and the guy was very creative. He hid it in a partition of reeds, and it was hidden in the thickness of the partition. And Menigin Mishabar was stolen from there. So the sages said, although this is an appropriate, effective protection for regarding theft, because people won't be able to generally find it over there, but in the Shemir Kadol in Ya'ish, it's not considered appropriately protected regarding a fire, because it's very flammable, but it's not going to last over there. And since he did not hide it, conceal it in the ground, or in the wall of the building, which we had said those are appropriate Shemirs, he did not do that. Peshehu is considered negligent regarding the fire element. Anything that starts off as negligent, even though at the end is a oynus regarding the theft, Chayiv is going to be liable. Anything similar like this, where any situation where if not for the negligence, the oynus would not have happened, he's going to be chayiv even if it's an oynus. Allah Chazan continues regarding what happens if the Shemir says, I don't know where I put your deposit. Some deposits by his friend, Bein Kalim, Bein Mois, where the vessels of money is Vamalein, says to him, Tenli Biktani, can you give me back my deposit? Vamal Hashem, and the custodian says, I don't know where I put this deposit. Or I don't know which place I buried your silver. Hamdinly, wait for me at Shavakish until I look for Emtza, and I'll find Vakslach, and I'll give it back to you. He's negligent for not knowing where it is. The Chayav L'Shamayan, he actually has to pay him right away. Halacha Ches continues regarding the custodian and his family or his people. Whoever deposits something by a homeowner, by an individual, Bein Kalim, Bein Mois, whether it's vessels or money, it doesn't make a difference. Aldas Ishti Uvanov, it's with the intention of his wife and his children, but then based on his family members, Hagadolim, that are the adults, who mafka, that is depositing, knowing that they're also going to be involved somehow in trying to take care of these items. Avla Mesarav Labanov of Neves Hakatan, but if the guardian, the Shemi, gives over to his young sons or family members that are minors, Oyla Vadov, or to his slaves, Bein Kalim, Bein Mois, whether they're adults or minors, or to one of his relatives that don't live with him in his house, and they don't depend on his table, they don't eat there, they're not part of the family, and they don't have to say that this halacha we're about to describe is in Mesarav L'Achiv, he gives it to a totally random person. In those cases, Arizah B'Shay is considered negligent, because what are you giving it over to these people? They're not part of the nuclear family itself. And Mechad L'Sham, and everybody has to pay. Elim Kein Hevi Hashemer Sheni, unless if the second custodian brings a Re'oya, a proof, Shalei Pasha, that it wasn't negligent. Kamesh Ran, like we explained this in Hilchas Chiris Perek Av Halacha Dal, only then will it be exempt. Now, Ma'is Be'achad was a story of an individual, Shehivkin Mois is a chaveret, he deposited monies by his friend. When the son Hashem Le'imoy, and the custodian gave it to his mother, he's going away for a trip, he gave it to his mother, and then his mother hid it away. But she did not conceal them in the ground or in the wall, as we described it has to be done. But when they got stolen, so the sages said, the guardian is not responsible to pay because he gave it to his mother. Because like we said, you call a mafkid, whoever deposits something by someone, so mafkid. He knows that that guy's sons and his family members, including his mother, will be part of the watching the deposit. Now, although he didn't tell his mother, he didn't say, mom, that's a deposit someone gave me. But still, Yesh Litton, he could claim to the contrary. Kol Shkinshin, his head has been, and Moshe Svurish and Shalit, for sure she's going to be careful about it if she knows his mind. Someone else is like, okay, that guy is, you know, that neighbor's fine. But what I mean, if I didn't tell her, but that's not, that doesn't make the safeguarding any less. Her own son's stuff, for sure she would watch appropriately. Now, at the same time, V'chein Ein Imay Chayev Islasham. So do the mother's not obligated to pay? Shadeilo Amalo Shein Bekadon. The son didn't tell her ultimately that it's a deposit, so that's not a negligence on her part that she didn't put into the ground or into the wall. So Bama Chacham, the sages said, Yeshava HaShemer. So the Shemer has to swear, Sha'is Namois Atzman, that those monies themselves that the guy had given them, Hinch and the son, those are the monies he gave to his mother. But the Shava Aim, Shechbin Oisim Nignavo, and the mother swears that she put them away and they were stolen. The Yipatrish Shem, they're both going to be exempt. Chen Kaitz was saying, thinking like something like this, that they're going to be exempt from the liability in that case. From here you learn. From this they were saying that the money is going to be exempt because she did not know that these monies were monies of deposits, because if she did, obviously she would have to put it where it's properly protected. So you learn, so if you have a guardian that gave over the deposit to his wife or his family members, and he let them know that it's a deposit, and those family members didn't watch it the way Hashem is supposed to do it, they are liable to pay back to the owner of the object, but a valbai is potter. The homeowner himself, even if his family members don't know what to pay, he's exempt. Because Shkala Mafkid, whoever deposits something by him, they know that he's going to have his mother or his sister or his brother or whoever it is in the family that's there to go ahead and watch the deposit too. So it's not his negligence, but they would be negligent because they knew that it was a pekan and they didn't protect it according to how pekan is supposed to be. Now, Ma'is Bechad, there was a story of an individual, Shehivkid Koshus Eitzel Echad, that he deposited hops, which is a certain type of vegetation that's put into beer of barley to make it taste better. Now, the custodian had other of his own hops. Now, he told to his attendant, he pointed to certain hops, and he says, oh, this hops you should put into the beer. Now, the attendant went, and he took the hops that was the deposit that this guy was watching with the other person, and he threw that into the beer. The sage said, Shashamish Potter. The attendant is exempt, Sharei Le Omar, because the owner didn't tell him, the one that he was working for, didn't tell him, Mizeh Hashlech, Mizeh Al Tashlech, didn't say, throw this and not this. But Dima, he thought, Shumanam Okim, that he's just showing him, pointing to a certain spot. But Ve'inim Akbaraz, it wasn't particular, so he didn't know that you can't take the other hops, which was the deposit. But at the same time, Vechim Balabai's Potter. The homeowner himself was also exempt, Sharei Omulay, Mizeh Hashlech, he told him to throw this hops in. And he didn't tell him to throw those other ones, so it's not his fault. And therefore, he only has to pay to the owner of the hops only the benefit that he got out of that, which made his beer better. Which is, when you damage someone else's things, you pay kafi hahana, according to the pleasure, because you got that pleasure. But if the beer ended up souring and became vinegary, and if he's not getting any benefit with his beer, then he's going to be exempt from paying, he's not getting any hana. Now, benkach, either case that we described, chayav Hashem eshvush akarchera, either way, whether it makes the beer better or not, the guardian has to swear that this is what happened, that he told his attendant to put in other hops and the attendant put in the barred hops, and then they're both going to be exempt. V'chein case of anything similar like that would have the same halacha.